Hi, and welcome to Wealthion. I'm James Conner. At Wealthion, we're always striving to introduce you to speakers who can provide insights on the financial markets. And if you have any suggestions or any ideas or on topics you would like to hear us discuss, please let us know in the show notes below. We're always looking for ideas. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel, wealthion.com, and also hit that notification button to be kept up to date on upcoming events. Our guest today is Laureen Gilbert of Wealthwise Financial Services, and we're going to hear Laureen's views on the economy, the markets, and also what she thinks of the Dallas Cowboys. Laureen, thank you very much for joining us today. How are things in Dallas?
Thank you. Things are doing well in Dallas. Very well. Thank you.
The Cowboys had a disappointing season.
Oh, heartache. It was a heartache for those of us like myself who are Cowboy fans and just really fell apart at the end of the season or postseason. So it was disappointing. And all we can hope for is a better season this next year.
Yeah, that's the one thing about football. It's such a short season and the fans just give it all, right? And then when it ends in disappointment, it is truly disappointing.
It is. It is. But I have hope for our Cowboys that this next season, who knows, maybe we take it all the way. I had hopes for the Super Bowl, so I'm holding on to that for next season.
Let's hope so. So before we do the deep dive on the economy and in the markets, I want to, quite often I'll ask my guests what concerns you the most and is if there's anything that keeps you up at night, and that might have to do with politics or immigration or the economy or even the Cowboys.
Well, yes, the Cowboys, certainly. But no, I would say as far as keeping me up at night, when I think about the economy, my biggest concern is really around consumer debt. And during COVID, what we saw with a lot of stimulus that went into people's pockets is that the consumer had quite a bit of savings on the sideline. And then that enabled them to spend quite a bit of money. And what we're finally seeing is that money has run out. Not only has that money run out, but consumers are going more and more in debt. So we're talking about credit card debt, automobile debt, and we're starting to see the strain of that with missed payments. So that does concern me because still over 2/3 of our economy is based on consumer spending, almost basically 70%. So with that, we have to worry about the consumer.
No, that's very true. And it's amazing what just with the cost of inflation and with the cost of going out and going to football games or concerts, I can't believe what people are paying. Like, I'm sure you've seen this, but with Taylor Swift, for example, people are paying $1,000 to go to a ticket and they might fly to a different city, right? And do you think a lot of that is being done on debt?
Well, certainly it is. I mean, a lot of people's lifestyle, Americans are used to spending money, used to getting what we want when we want it. And who cares? You know, I mean, the mindset for many people is who cares if it goes in a credit card? Somehow I'll pay it off one day. And so, like you said, whether it's going to Taylor Swift or whether it's going to a Cowboy game, or whether it's eating in a fancy restaurant, people continue to spend their money. Or not even their money, but the credit card's money.
So you just told us what concerns you. Now, one of the interesting things about Wealthwise is that you have clients across 26 different states. And I'm curious to hear what they're saying. What are they most concerned about or what do they ask you about?
Right. Yes, we do have clients across the country. And the most frequent question I'm hearing right now is how will the election affect things? For instance, how will the election affect the economy? How will the election affect the markets? And so what I have to remind people is that, one, that presidential election years tend to be positive in the markets, tends to be a good year in the markets. And we are saying we do believe this year is going to be not only a positive year for the markets, but that we're going to end the year higher than where we are right now. And we've already had a rally at the beginning of the year. So that's the first thing. The second thing is history shows that no matter which party wins, there's not a huge impact on the markets. And the other thing I'll say is that we've actually seen the markets with both the candidates. And both times, both when Trump was elected and when Biden was elected, there was a lot of fear mongering about what was going to happen in the markets as a result of each of those people being in office as the president. And history shows it doesn't really matter. So that both under both presidents, the markets did not tank. So that's the second thing to think about. And the third thing to remember is that the markets are not going to move because of the president. However, what I will say is that policies will be different under each administration. And where that affects people is not necessarily the stock market directly, but it could affect them on their taxes. And so what we're seeing between the two candidates are very different stances on taxes. What I will say, too, is under the Biden plan, what was revealed during the State of the Union is this idea of increasing corporate taxes. And so the question becomes, will increasing corporate taxes affect the profitability of companies? But corporations have been thinking about this idea. They know that it's a possibility. And I do think that corporations will maneuver no matter what happens with corporate taxes.
And I'm glad you brought up taxes. What about estate taxes? Is that a concern?
It is a concern because in the tax Jobs and Act that happened in 2017 under Trump, we saw the tax cuts there, and we saw estate tax exemptions go up significantly. So at the time, it was $5.5 million per person. Now we're looking at almost $13 million per person on the exemption. So for a couple, that's basically $26 million. So huge difference. And that is set to expire at the end of 2025, unless it is somehow extended. And so that would take legislation that goes through Congress. So right now, it's set to what we call, it's going to sunset. And what that means, it's going to revert back, not to the $5.5 million, but indexed for inflation, which is estimated to be 6.8 million per person. So going from 13 million to 6.8. So what that means is if you're currently above those exemptions, looking at advanced estate tax planning techniques is key. And we talk to our clients about those.
Yeah. So I just want to clarify one thing you said. So right now for an individual, $13 million is tax-free.
Estate tax free. Estate tax free. Yes. So if you pass away and you have an estate that's under that, it's like 12.97 million, then you would not pay estate taxes. But if it's above that, you would pay estate taxes.
And come 2025, that's going to drop down to 5 million. And anything over above that will be taxed.
At the end of 2025, so beginning of 2026, it's going to go back to 6.8 million because it was the 5.5 million index for inflation, which is estimated to be about 6.8 million.
Well, that's a significant amount. I'm surprised I'm not hearing more about this in the news.
It's a huge impact to people. And when you think about people who have real estate, I mean, a lot of real estate, by the way, this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about, you know, your debt necessarily. It's looking at your full estate. So you've got to look at your real estate, your securities. Let's say you own a farm, you know, the farmers who own those things. So if you own a business, that's substantial. All business owners who have any kind of wealth in their business. So it affects a lot of people.
It's amazing. The one thing that kills me is actually two things, taxes and inflation, right? But the thing about taxes is that we're continuously being taxed on after-tax dollars. You know, every time you go and buy gas or every time you buy food or every time you buy alcohol or cigarettes or whatever it is, you're always being taxed on after-tax dollars. And now this is one more thing that people have to be concerned about.
It definitely is. I mean, when you think about all the taxes that people pay, it's your sales tax, it's your property tax, it's your state tax if you live in a state that has state tax, it's your federal tax, and then like we were talking about, your estate tax. So those taxes add up.
Yes, and just along that same vein, a lot of people say that inflation is like a silent tax, but we recently saw the CPI numbers come out a little bit stronger than what the market was expecting. What are your thoughts on inflation and the CPI number? And do you think this is going to be a trend that continues throughout this year?
Yeah, most of that CPI number, 60% of it, was attributed to shelter and to gasoline. And we know that shelter is a lagging number. And we know that that's been sticky, and we've expected it to continue to be sticky. It is coming down, but it's going to take time. So, in my opinion, the slight increase of point, it's very slight. Is not a huge disturbance to me. I'm not overly concerned about it. It certainly gives the Fed pause as far as needing to take any action on their part. But overall, I think that we're going to continue to see that number coming down.
That's good. So a little bit of relief.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the economy now. The economy overall continues to be very strong and it continues to defy all the pundits. It's growing at about 5% annualized. The jobless rate is very low. What are your views on the economy and where do you see it going as we progress through 2024?
Well, the economy is slowing down. Let's not, forget that. So, yes, we still have a strong economy in many ways, but unemployment has creeped up. We do see our manufacturing numbers in contractionary territory. So, I would say the economy is slowing down. Once again, I'm not overly concerned about it. I do think that we're in the late stage of our business cycle. I think that's where we are. And we can stay in a late stage of the business cycle for quite some time.
I want to ask you about interest rates. Now, earlier this year, the market thought we were going to see six cuts. But with some of this economic data that we've seen out in the last few weeks, now the market is anticipating three cuts this year. What are your thoughts on interest rates? And when do you see the first rate cut coming?
Yeah, so I'm definitely in the camp that it's going to happen this year, that the Federal Reserve will start lowering rates. And I've been holding to this idea of May still, and we'll see what happens. But certainly somewhere I would say between May and the end of the summer is when we would see the first rate cut. And then over a 12-month period from there, somewhere between 1 and 1.5% decline in rates. That is my estimation. So as far as this year, I think the idea of three still makes sense because, it'll be about halfway through the year when we start those rate cuts.
So you mentioned earlier that you see a slowing economy. You think we're going to see a pullback in interest rates. What are your views on a recession? There's been a lot of talk about this impending recession, and we haven't seen it yet. What do you think?
Yeah, there's still a probability of a recession. It's over 60% as far as probability numbers. I would say that we are still hoping for a soft landing, and eventually, because like I said, we're in the late stage of the business cycle, we will have a recession. The question is when, and maybe it's pushed out instead of being 2024, maybe it's more like 2025. But eventually, just part of the business cycle, we will have a recession. I think right now, like I said, when I look at the markets, we still think we're going to end the year higher. And so maybe we're able to avoid the recession for now, and then maybe it's 2025.
So let's talk about that. You just mentioned that you expect the markets to be higher at the end of the year. I'm assuming you're referring to the S&P. What are your targets in terms of earnings for the S&P and also your price target for the S&P?
Yeah, earnings at around 240. And we're looking from here, maybe up another somewhere between 3 and 7% from here. So, that's still a healthy market given the rally that we've already had.
And you're not concerned about a pullback at all? I mean, the S&P was up over 20% last year. NASDAQ was up 40. Here we are in the first quarter of 2023, and both indices are up again quite significantly. We have a number of very frothy sectors within the market. I'm talking about the AI stocks and Nvidia in particular. That doesn't concern you at all?
Well, it does concern me. So I do think there are certainly frothy areas of the market, and I think we've seen a huge run-up in a number of stocks. And we absolutely think there could be volatility between here and the end of the year. So while we expect it to be higher at the end of the year, it's not in a straight line. And yes, we could have a full-blown correction in the middle of here and the end of the year. So what I'm always telling clients is, be prepared for volatility. It's not going to be a straight line. But so we certainly could have a correction. And that I think corrections are very healthy for the markets. Gives us a breather, chance to regroup, recalibrate, and determine, which of these stocks really warrant the kinds of PEs that we're seeing and the prices that we're seeing.
You mentioned earlier that a lot of your clients are asking you about what does the upcoming election mean to their investments in the markets overall. But I'm curious, does anybody ever ask you about Nvidia or given the move that it's had, or about AI or about cryptocurrencies?
We get asked, surprisingly enough, we're really not asked much right now about crypto. And however, we're asked all the time about AI and about, like you said, Nvidia. And everybody, it's so easy to say, woulda, shoulda, coulda, had I put, X amount in Nvidia and look at it today. But let's not forget that not just Nvidia, but many of these stocks see huge declines as well. And so, we have been invested in the semiconductor space, but since we weren't sure, and I still don't think we know who the winners are in AI, our approach is to be invested in an ETF that is across the board in the sector where we're not taking a bet on any one stock.
And you mentioned that none of your clients ask you about cryptocurrencies. What about gold? Does anybody ask about gold? And
They
I'm wondering
do.
that because quite often people will invest in Bitcoin and gold for the same reasons.
All right. So people do ask about gold, and the people who ask about gold tend to be people who watch infomercials on that's fear-mongering and news stations that tend to promote fear. And so, gold certainly is an asset class. It's we're not saying that there's a reason not to be in gold at all, but certainly you don't want to be overweighted in any one asset class or area of the market. And let's not forget that gold does not pay dividends. So, as far as an income stream or creating income for a client, you're just banking on capital appreciation when it comes to gold. So, gold has its place. And for those clients that want to see some gold in their portfolio, we go in and out of gold, various times. So we're invested in that area at times. But we'll certainly help our clients who feel like that is something that they want in their portfolios.
So overall, it sounds like you're not too concerned about the US economy and the US markets overall. You expect maybe a slowing of the economy, but you're not concerned about a drastic pullback. And you expect a pullback in the markets, maybe not in 2024, but later in 2025. Do I have that correct?
Yes, although I'll say, still could have a correction. We could see a 10, even a 15% correction in the markets. That can always happen, even in the midst of a bull market run.
Now, this time last year, we had concerns with a regional banking crisis in the US. Just recently, New York Community Bank also came out with some headlines. They bought a number of assets off of Signature Bank, and they're starting to have trouble with that portfolio of assets. Do you think this regional banking situation might be cause for concern? Do you think it's going to grow bigger than what it currently is?
I don't think it's going to be a systemic issue. I think you're going to continue to see pockets and in certain institutions where it's revealed that they have an underlying problem. It just causes us concern as far as really going into the regional bank space. So, you know, there still are some risks that we need to be aware of. We do like, you know, there are other areas of financials that could be invested in, but I think being wary and being careful in the regional bank space, because there could be other pockets that come up.
And Lorene, when you look outside of the U.S., we quite often were reading about a slowdown in Germany, a slowdown in Japan. Are there any other areas throughout the world that you're concerned about?
Yes, I think that the U.S. is the best place to be right now. And we have most of our exposure within the United States, because we do see when we look around the globe, it's hard to find some bright spots like you have within the United States. And while we believe that long-term India has a lot of promise as far as a country that's developing and growing, still being cautious on the equity side of things in India, it's still not, you know, the United States of America, it's not a developed country in the same way. And so recognizing, yes, I think there are some long-term opportunities there, but once again, have to be careful.
And when you look at your portfolio within the U.S., I know every individual is different, but what weightings are you overweight and what are you underweight?
Well, one thing I'll say is we add alternative investments into the mix along with equities and fixed income, and that allocation helps provide some mitigation to risk across the board. So we do invest in many areas of the market. When it comes to looking at sectors, like I mentioned before, we do like semiconductors. We do like healthcare, which is a defensive play. We do like, you know, when we look at capitalization, we do actually like small cap. So we think that there's been this huge disparity between large cap and small cap, and that eventually we're going to see small cap take the lead again as far as capitalizations are concerned. So, and then on the fixed income side, we like core, we like high quality. We're not as interested in reaching for yield, as we do see the economy is slowing down. So we think we need to be cautious in that area.
And when you say alternative investments, what exactly do you mean?
Well, you know, looking at long short, looking at, you know, just merger arbitrage, looking at different areas, real estate that we can be invested in. So there's many different alternative investments that we can incorporate into our portfolios.
Different strategies to enhance the overall returns.
That's right, and mitigate risk.
Well, Lorene, that was an interesting discussion. And as we wrap up, if someone would like to learn more about you and your firm and the various services that it offers, where can they go?
They can go to wealthwisefinancial.com. And we also have a newsletter. If you're interested in our newsletter, you can email us at info@wealthwisefinancial.com.
Well, once again, that was a great discussion. And I want to thank you very much for spending time with us today. And I look forward to our next discussion.
Thank you very much.
Go Cowboys.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that discussion with Lorene Gilbert. We bring on these experts like Lorene to help you navigate the financial markets and to help you preserve and grow your money. And if you would like help with that process, consider having a discussion with a Wealthion endorsed financial advisor at wealthion.com. It's a free service that Wealthion offers to anyone who has an interest. And after providing some basic information, Wealthion will put you in touch with a vetted advisor. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel, wealthion.com, and also hit that notification button to be kept up to date on upcoming events. Once again, I want to thank you for spending time with us today, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.